We got the crabs. Yeah, he said it. I'm just quoting. And then you see that. Could George Bush write a single sentence in the paragraphs that I just read to you? No. Not a prayer. Not a chance. That old saw about infinite monkeys with infinite typewriters.
Okay! Don't you
stop America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Let's try this again. Mercy sakes. That was certainly weird last night, wasn't it? I promise you, I didn't just get disgusted and walk away. I'm too big a pro to do something like that. No. Our internet service just was burpy, and it pretty much burped all evening long. Things were highly unreliable around here. Now, here's the weird part. I called, went back and forth with our ISP for no evidence. No evidence that it ever went down here at all. But you guys were listening. You heard me, and then, focus, nothing. And I saw it happen here, too, on the software that we used to send the program out. So I don't know, you know, a more paranoid man would, without a doubt, take note of the fact that I had just told whoever Agent Fred is down in the bowels of the NSA to drop dead, and we lost service. Just saying. But I'm sure that overall that had nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever. And these are not the droids you're looking for. So we'll get through the evening, gosh willing. And, you know, where we go this evening is largely up to you. I mean, I've got some stuff that I find interesting. Let's start with some holiday greetings. Shall we? Do let's. After all, 'tis the season. Out of all the let's get it started. Let's get it started from where it's supposed to start. Here we go.
Are you about worn out of all the television commercials you've been seeing? Mostly about politics. I don't blame you. At this time of year, sometimes it's nice to pull aside from all of that and just remember that what really matters is the celebration of the birth of Christ and being with our family and our friends. I hope that you and your family will have a magnificent Christmas season. And on behalf of all of us, God bless and Merry Christmas. I'm Mike Huckabee, and I approve this message.
I bet you do, Mike.
Are you about worn out of all the television?
Now, see, I'm used to running the rerun stream on there, so it just loops. Sorry about that. I bet, yeah. And those of us who don't go in for the human beings born of virgins business, we can just go to hell there, Mike. A joyous holiday season. Didn't they used to make Maytag washers out in Iowa? This is a Christmas ad that's started running today in Iowa.
on behalf of Brother Mike Huckstruby. Reckon there are a few people who maybe spent a lifetime making Maytag washing machines and Maytag dryers and Maytag this and Maytag that. You know, the dependability people. You reckon now that their jobs have been gone for a few years now to China, do you reckon they're having a joyous and Christ-filled holiday season? Who am I? I'm just some cranky dude up a holler somewhere in West Virginia that takes extreme umbrage at a man clearly mixing. That's not a mixture. Man, that's folded together and beaten. You couldn't even precipitate out the religion from the politics in that stinking ad. Are you tired of the politics already? I am too. Why don't you just give up and vote for Jesus? I mean me. I'm Mike Huckstruby. God. This kind of stuff just it makes me a little bit, crazy. I can't believe this clown is going to get away with it. I first ran across this. I had it in the list last night. This is not just, a recycled show, but there's still stuff to get to from last night. I ran across this over on the ABCNews.com political punch blog by Jake Tepper, who has a wry little smile on his face. And the headline, Huck invokes Christ in new TV ad. With silent light strumming as soothing background music, Huckabee tells voters he doesn't blame them if they're worn out from all the political ads. Yeah, okay. He says, I cannot remember a presidential candidate ever invoking Christ in a TV ad before. But the thing is, all the way through this blog, the very first paragraph, as a matter of fact, tomorrow in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee launches a new TV ad called What Really Matters. Is it too much for you and I to demand a de minimis standard of competence on the part of the extremely well-paid so-called professional media? Is it too much for you and I to ask Jake Tapper, ABC News senior national correspondent, to get his damn nomenclature straight? Is it too much to let Mr. Tapper know that, in fact, he's not former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, he is current Reverend Mike Huckabee? Now, I know, this may seem like I'm beating a dead horse, but sometimes you got to beat the dead horse because the other side won't admit that there's a horse or that he's even sick. He is not former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. He is Reverend Mike Huckabee. He's never mailed his ordination back in. He's never been deflocked or frocked or pocked or mocked. Well, I'm doing as much mocking as I can. He is and has been, since he was a very young man, an ordained minister of the Southern Baptist Church. But somewhere along the way, the word has gone out that he is not to be referred to as Reverend Mike Huckabee. He is always to be referred to as former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. And I find that to be weaselicious. Ooh, new word. And fundamentally dishonest. He used to be governor of Arkansas, but he was, is, and after this election is over, whether he is nominated for the Republican presidential bid or not, he will remain Reverend Mike Huckabee.
If he loses in Iowa, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Vermont, Montana, Alaska, Hawaii, the Southern Baptist Convention's not going to get hold of him. You know, Dickland over there. The head man, I guess, or he seems to be the chief enforcer, Dickland does. He's not going to write to him and say, you know, it's time to turn in the ordination there, Mac. They're going to go on and leave it alone. So, you know, the poor people, I feel so sorry for people in Iowa. I feel so sorry for people in South Carolina and New Hampshire having to watch this political drivel ooze out of their television sets. Of course, you know, there is a means to avoid that crap, and it's called turning off the stupid box, because watching the stupid box will only make you stupider. I mean, I can sit in front of an old rerun of Three's Company or Married with Children, and I can feel my IQ lowering. I mean, the little brain cells are just going, ow, bang, ow, bang, ow, bang, committing suicide. So to that extent, it's not in... You get the message. You understand. So, you know, there's the Reverend Mac Hoekstraby with his little red turtleneck on in front of the warm and smarmy Christmas set, which is, of course, fake. I mean, I suppose we're supposed to assume that this is in the Hoekstraby house. It's a set. Yeah, maybe that's part of the problem. The American people have gotten so thoroughly immersed in the video culture and television and whatnot that they can no longer separate reality from television. You just see it and you take it for granted. You know, you take for granted. Wait. Let's see here. You take for granted that, you know, any old time he feels like it, Brother Mike has a little guitar player in the corner of the room.
Are you about worn out of all the television commercials you've been seeing?
Hey, Jose, play me one of them Christmas carols on that guitar you got. Don't forget when you're done, you can go to sleep in the basement. Da, 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 da. Jeez. That was my Christmas present to my lovely wife. I bought her a Mexican guitar player. She just loves it. When she's feeling frisky, he plays Feliz Navidad. Oof. Oof. So, I don't know. What do you think? Is this going to have an impact? Obviously, this is being played for Repiglickens. So, and I don't know. I'm pretty sure that they kill any confessed atheist Repiglickens, don't they? Just kill them out of hand. Heretic! Gone. So, you know, maybe this is perfectly okay. Maybe it's what we would expect from, you know, a guy like Mike Hoekstraby. But I tell you what, he sure enough does give me the creeps, Huckabee does. And it's not likely to stop anytime soon, because, well, there's just so much icky to him. You know about this latest little piece of reportage, don't you? David Korn over at Mother Jones has reported that in a 1998 book called Kids Who Kill, of which Mac Hoekstraby was the co-author, he wrote, and this is a quote, okay? This isn't crazy old David Korn at Mother Jones just making junk up, and it's not crazy old Bob adding a word here and there like I'm sometimes prone to do, so I have to kind of do that and tell you in advance. No, this is the real words. And I don't know if our good friend and world's most fabulous LGBT conversation host Peter Godbold has seen this yet, but
I'm sorry, I can't leave this one alone. This is the quote. And, you know, sit down, take a slug of something or whatever it takes to sort of get you in your happy place before you hear something really stupidly evil. It is now difficult to keep track of the vast array of publicly endorsed and institutionally supported aberrations from homosexuality and pedophilia to sadomasochism and necrophilia. You got that? You got the memo now? That's right, in 1998, in a book that he published for God and everybody to read, the Reverend Mike Huxterby, who's just filled with Christian love, equated homosexuality and banging dead people. Yep. He also quoted S&M and banging children. Really. He did. Not kidding. So, David Korn got in touch. got in touch with some freak at the Huxterby campaign. And what was said was, a spokesman for Reverend Mack said, he's not equating homosexuality with necrophilia. He's saying there's a range of aberrant behavior. He considers homosexuality aberrant, but that's at one end of the spectrum, and necrophilia is at the other end. No way is he saying that homosexuality is like having sex with dead people. That's not it at all. Dang it. I added the dang it. So, naturally, David Korn goes on and asks how one measures what goes where on this sliding scale of aberrant behavior. And the spokesman said, he was talking about aberrant sexual behavior. Sadomasochism and necrophilia are on the further end of the spectrum. Which means, if you notice the way that Huxterby said it, that homosexuality and pedophilia are next-door neighbors across the fence. Spokesman said, it's like saying any sex is the same. Yes, he considers both aberrant, but no, he does not equate the two in any way. Don't you understand nothing, you stupid Yankee? He was describing behavior. He's not casting judgment on the people themselves. His point is the culture is becoming more accepting of aberrant behaviors. What, are you people stupid or something? Can't you understand when a man plainly says that it's hard to keep track of the vast array of publicly endorsed and institutionally supported aberrations from homosexuality and pedophilia to sadomasochism and necrophilia. Can't you understand that he's not comparing homosexuality and necrophilia? Can't you understand that? You dang liberals, you've been out there smoking your dope and drinking your fair trade coffee so darn long, you can't understand that there's a difference between having sex with the same sex and having sex with the same sex and the same sex is dead. What I gotta do? Get an interpreter? Translate it into liberalese for you, you liberal media goober? Memo to Reverend Mike. Memo to Reverend Mike's staff. You know, when you're in a hole, quit digging one. Just stop digging, buddy. So, you know, I don't know. What do we call this? The Tuesday evening Rick Santorum Man on Dog Award? Yeah, you remember that, of course. You remember when the Texas sodomy law was struck down and Rick Santorum took to the well of the Senate to scream that the homosexuals would be doing Fido in the street by sunup. Congratulations, Reverend Mike.
You done won yourself the Rick Santorum Award. All right, seriously, who is Mike Huckabee to create a spectrum of aberrant behavior? Come on. Come on, Reverend Mike. Let's see that Ph.D. in psychology, buddy. Roll out that M.D. with that board certification in psychiatry, would you? Show us those credentials you've got for the drafting of the latest upcoming edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. Would you please, sir? Republicans. Everything's aberrant if it's sexual unless we do it. And then it's patriotic and it loves Jesus. That's what I'm getting at there. And I know you're all tired of... Oh, God. God, help me. This guy could be president of the United States. Oh, I know, you little confident Democrats, you're sitting there going, no, he couldn't. Yeah, he could. He could. Oh, you don't know what kind of power these freaks have over the knuckle-walking faithful.
Are you about worn out of all the television commercials you've been seeing?
No, Mike, I'm worn out of you taking it on yourself to declare who's aberrant and who's not. What are you, the Pope?
Are you about worn out of all the television commercials you've been seeing?
No, I can take television commercials from now till hell freezes over. What's going to make me start banging my head off the wall and make me have to wear knee pads, elbow pads, and a little football helmet every day is the fact that you can't turn around without trying to... What is your fascination with how other people have sex, Reverend Huck?
Are you about worn out of all the television commercials you've been...
No, while we're at it, let's have a grammar moment there, Reverend Huck. I'm not worn out of, I'm worn out with, you damn doofus.
Are you about worn out of all the television commercials you've been seeing? Mostly about politics.
Well, yeah, they've mostly been about politics, but some of them involved the balding former Arkansas governors who are current reverends and members of the Southern Baptist cult sitting in front of a dummied-up, ginned-up, faked-up set somewhere in probably God knows Hollywood with a little dude playing the guitar in the background and a Christmas tree and a red turtleneck sweater telling me I'm tired of watching commercials for Victoria's Secret. I'm not tired of the Victoria's Secret commercials there, Rick. Mike? Somebody? I'm so tired of this man. Oh, you know, you watch this this little freak show, and suddenly you're in touch with your inner Henry this second, and you're just mumbling, you know, will someone not rid me of this meddlesome priest? So, I don't know. But that's not all. There's other Hucksterby news out there. Sure there is. Gosh, yes, lots of it. And the funny thing is, all this stuff that makes normal people just sort of wince and groan and shudder and have the fantods and whatnot, it's having no effect whatsoever, as far as I can tell, on the Republican faithful. Nope, not a bit. Not a blessed bit. Which, pardon me, but that, I find that, highly disturbing. Because, of course, the Republican Party doesn't care if there's a religious test to hold office. Well, Mitt Romney does if it involves, him having to actually explain why he wears the magic underwear, or when it is he plans on turning into a god and repopulating another planet. He objects to that. But, you know, Mike Huckabee? Shucks. It's just, you know, it is the reason for the season, for us to win souls to Jeebus. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, it makes me a little bit, you know, nuts. It just does. So here we are. It's about 26 minutes past the hour. There's, God knows, lots more stuff to go into this evening. We are not limited solely and exclusively to talking about this freakish goon. And, you know, whatever you want to bring to the table is fine by me. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4 head-on. That's our toll-free number. If you can save us a buck by calling in directly, that's 304-658-5453. Email comes into bob@headonradio.com, and you're more than welcome to send me your thoughts. I'll try to share them on the air. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. And I am, in fact, Bob Kincaid.
So tell me, Christmas, are we wise to believe in things we never see? Our prayers just wishes in disguise. All these wishes being granted me.
you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Round up the usual suspects.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. And I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. Now, he's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shears Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here on the Horn Head On Radio Network. Make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shear.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play as time goes by.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now. Yeah.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Alrighty then, about 26 and a half minutes before the hour as we get back to normal after last night's manifest weirdness. I gotta admit, it'll make you a little skittish when everything that you're used to having just work goes and doesn't anymore. You do get a little bit skittish, but you know, that's life. That's life on the cutting edge of the technology, and sometimes we get sliced dancing. But everything appears to be working. Knock wood. Yep. Knock wood. We're going to be okay. And we will go to the phones where Susan is waiting. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Appalled. By the way, you did catch the bit about Huckstrup's son and the dog.
Oh, yeah. That's next.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Nice people, anyway, these Huckstrup's.
Yeah, aren't they, though? The reason I called in is an article. I just put it up on the main page on the under recent posts. It's called, the heading is, It Started. It's about the mutiny of a platoon in Iraq. They'd had enough, and they knew that if they were sent out into Baghdad again, in their words, they'd light the whole thing up. So rather than commit another My Lai, they said, no, we're not going.
Yeah.
this is, I'm looking at it, you sent the link along to me too, and then it's disturbing. I don't blame these young men in the least, and I'm sure you don't either. It seems to me a rational
statement.
I honor
them for pulling back from the edge because they knew they were at the edge. They had their first sergeant sitting in a Humvee of all places going down the road and suddenly say, I can't take it anymore, and blow himself away in front of three of these guys.
Within the company, we made some adjustments, the company commander Strickland said. They needed a fresh start.
Yeah.
After looking into it, I didn't feel the need to punish anybody. He called above. He took it up the chain of the command, and they said, "For God's sakes, don't mention this."
Yeah.
If you make noise about it, it may grow.
They were punished. They were their promotions were delayed, medals were held up, and they were punished, and they knew it. In fact, in at least one case, a guy was not rotated out of Iraq as soon as he should have been. He could have been killed at any time.
Yeah, that's Sergeant Derek Jorkey.
Yeah.
Got to stay in Iraq for an extra month after 2nd Platoon went home in October. Yeah, they broke up the unit. 7 non-coms were told they were being relieved for cause and moved out of the unit, and 3 non-coms stayed at the old mod 2, whatever that is, including the guy who got punished with an extra month in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite interesting.
What I don't understand is why I do not understand the higher ups realizing, guys, when it gets to the point where a company is, where an entire platoon is willing to say, no, we're not going anywhere, because otherwise we're going to commit a massacre, send somebody else.
Yeah, and like I said, it's a perfectly reasonable and rational act under the standards as set forth at Nuremberg.
But instead they punished them, and to me that's appalling.
No, they
if
could
you watch.
It could have been to be realistic. It could have been far worse.
Oh yeah, it could have. They could have court-martialed all of them. They could be in Leavenworth right now. But you watch more and more and more of these platoons are going to be doing this, and that.
They may. The trick is, and you got this out of Army Times. But the trick is, will we find out about it? Or will we have to wait until this whole shenanigan is over and wait for the soldiers to start telling the real stories?
It was. We didn't find out about what happened, what really stopped Vietnam for years. And what it was the soldiers finally said, no, you can get killed out there. We're not going out there.
Well,
and they refused to go. They flat mutinied in whole companies.
You know, earlier in the broadcast, Susan, I was tempted to say that it was a slow news day. But you know what? It's not. There's lots of news out there. What it is a slow work day.
Yeah.
And we need journalists who are actually doing journalism instead of, wait a minute, what's it say on the CNN main page? Oh, yeah. Natalie Holloway, now a cold case.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
Third down in their latest news.
Yeah, I'm sure her mother cares, her immediate family cares, but nobody on the rest of the planet gives a rip. I'm sorry.
Widower overwhelmed with 3 newborns. Belgian beauty booed at pageant.
In other words, what they're saying is, look at all these things we've got up here for you. Don't look. The stuff we don't want you to
see the birdie.
Like this Army Times article.
Or, you know, being as the TV journalism runs a couple of weeks behind the curve, you know, we'll see 20-second reader about this 3 weeks from now. But it's there is no such, and I think we should bear it in mind, there is no such thing as a slow news day. There are there is such a thing as a slow news gathering day or a lazy journalism day.
Definitely lazy journalism. And what appalls me is they're trying to give consolidate media even more word.
Well, that I'm glad you mentioned it because that story is out there today. You know what the FCC did?
Yeah.
The 32-year-old rule was overturned by the Bush FCC today on a party line vote. 32 years this ban has been in place, Susan. 32 years the United States, through presidents both Republican and Democrat, the FCC, which is, you know, not my favorite organization, and I think has been ranked from time to time by the GAO, the GAO, has been ranked from time to time as the single least efficient executive branch bureaucracy going. But for 32 years, this rule has stood. That's 1975. That is Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Bush 1, Bill Clinton, and now Bush 2's FCC is going to go say, nah, no thanks. A 32-year-old ban that keeps broadcasters in the 20 largest media markets in America from owning a newspaper.
Yeah.
And why? What will be the justification for this, Susan?
I don't know what the justification is.
Well, of course you do. Wait just a minute. Of course you do. The free market. The free market. We've got to end government regulation. The free market going to make us all freer. Especially if Rupert Murdoch can buy himself a newspaper in every major market in America. They want this to happen. They'll hide behind the free market. But their ultimate goal is to create further domination of the media by the right wing. Who's going to run out and do this? Some liberal media magnate?
No.
Which one?
Yeah. That's the truth. And that's so that things like this mutiny can get buried even further.
You know, when you open up the podunk moral volcano, the masthead in a year from now will say, a Fox News publication.
Yeah.
And you know what they do in the way of news. I mean, I can't wait till if you've seen Fox News porn, the little video by what's his name, Robert Greenwald, over at Brave New Films. If you've seen that, you know what's coming to the Wall Street Journal. There'll be some busty, near-naked woman on the cover of the stodgy old Wall Street Journal done in a pen and ink drawing every blessed day.
Yep.
And that's coming to 20 major markets, too. Plus, you know, there are a few newspapers out there that actually do a little bit of reportage from something arguably less than a right-wing stance, and they will be the first ones on the block, Susan.
Yeah.
They will get bought. They will be, you know, I don't know what he's got for a backup, but I hope Mark Morford is having a look at what his future is, because it's about getting rid of columnists like Mark Morford, because you can't have people out there actively attacking and fighting back against this filth. You just can't. And I cite Mark Morford simply because he is the best at his game in America today, bar none, period. Mm. San Francisco Chronicle.
Greg Palast got to go overseas.
Well, you know, but Greg Palast isn't published in any newspapers. Greg Palast is a TV reporter for the most part, and he operates on the Internet much as we do. And you're right, he had to go to work for the Beeb because there's certainly no room for his kind of journalism in this country. But the ones who are here, who are working in print, are endangered by this rule.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what are the somebody out there can do the homework. What are the 20 largest media markets in the United States? Obviously, that would be New York.
L.A., Chicago.
Yeah, Philly, Miami.
Yeah.
Dallas, San Francisco, Seattle.
Oh, my God, there goes the P.I. and the Times.
There goes the P.I. and the Times. There goes the Chronicle. Because most, you know, it used to be that major markets had two or three competing newspapers.
Yeah.
That day has gone, and that race has been run, and that sun has set. With very little there just aren't a bunch of major markets that have multiple newspapers anymore.
No. Seattle's the only one I know of that has two, and in effect it only has one because the Times bought out the PI.
And I guess technically, you know, Atlanta has the Journal and the Constitution. I don't know if they still publish two newspapers or not. They publish a conjoined twins sort of edition on Sunday, the AJC. Maybe it's all AJC now. I simply don't know. But, you know, look at look at a map and see where the top 20 markets in this country are as far as newspapers are concerned, and you'll get a pretty doggone good idea at what you're going to see in the way of media consolidation. And once again, Susan, this is a case of these thugs have got to get it done now.
Yeah, because once the Democrats get in, they're not going to be allowed to.
Just for the fun of it, Fox and the Tribune Company are already involved in it because, of course, the Tribune Company in Chicago owns WGN. And then Rupert Murdoch owns a newspaper, two VHF TV stations, and the Wall Street Journal. We are fast approaching an American version of Pravda and TASS and Izvestia.
Well, I already call Fox Pravda, which is probably one of the reasons why when I'm looking for news, the first place I go to is to the BBC, then the Independent, and then to the Australian papers. I don't even look at the American papers.
Well, what's to see?
Yeah, nothing.
So, you know,
if I want the truth.
Well, if you want facts, I mean, that's my hang-up.
If I want facts, I go overseas. There.
Because there's no such thing as freedom of the press anymore.
No, all we've got here is propaganda. That's why I call Fox Pravda.
It was a 3-2.
It was
a 3-2 vote today.
Yeah.
Kevin Martin is the FCC chairman. He's the little bush toad. And the two Republicans joined him to push the vote through. And this is despite members of the. I mean, see. And, you know, Mark Levine was talking in the last hour about how little regard or the strategic stance by the Democrats and why they don't fight back and so forth. A story like this, however, points out how absolutely, utterly no regard that the Bush administration holds for Congress. Congress has bent over and grabbed its ankles so many times for George Bush.
Yep.
That he's lost any respect he might ever have had for it. And Kevin Martin, the toad at the FCC, he brought this vote on even in the face of intense criticism from both the House and the Senate for him to delay it. The White House, according to the story, has pledged to turn back any congressional action that seeks to undo the agency vote. Do you see why?
Yeah.
Because if they can do that until a Democrat gets in the White House with a Democratic Congress, then you've actually forced the Democrats to divest these ownership issues, if they want to do it. to do an actual divestiture, and bang, the Republicans can scream that well, the Democrats are being socialists. They're trying to socialize the news media. That's because they want a liberal media. Well, I can't believe I belong to such a gutless, spineless, pathetic party as I do.
I know.
I mean, there's a budget battle being waged, right?
Yeah. Why don't they say you're going to get zipped because it don't take your signature to kill a bill? You won't get a budget for nothing.
Well, why not just zero out the FCC's budget?
Yeah.
I mean, God knows George Bush zeroed out the budget for the Traumatic Brain Injury Research Unit.
Exactly. Why can't these people play hardball?
It's not that they can't, it's that they won't, Susan. They won't. And that's a much larger question.
Severe lack of cojones.
Pathetic.
Pardon the expression.
Just pathetic. Just sad and sickening. And.
But in the meantime, we've got guys in Iraq who are saying, I can't take it anymore, and killing themselves.
Lots of them. That's the thing. Not one or two. Lots of them. One or two would be horrifying. The number that we have committing suicide in Iraq is a national disgrace. And the number that we don't even bother to count who commit suicide when they come home is a national tragedy.
Yeah. Last I heard, it was classified, the number that are committing suicide over in Iraq. They're not even letting those figures out.
I wouldn't be surprised in the least. Not in the least.
Much easier to just classify it.
Yep. Susan, have a wonderful evening, dear.
You too, and... my love to Agnes and the kids.
All right, thanks, and hey to Donald.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Got to go to the Army Times. The six-figure reporters for the New York Times can't find that story. Nope. Can't be done. The seven-figure talking heads for the news networks... can't find that story. Or what I suspect to be true, the story, someone attempted to tell it, and they're not interested. And that is nothing but pure unmitigated paranoia on my part. Oh, another little media moment. A lot of you folks who listen to this network also listen to other programs. A great number of you listen to Mike Malloy. And as a consequence, well, some of you also listen to Air America. And a little piece of information broke today. The Young Turks are splitting, they say, amicably with Air America. And bringing their show back to the internet. You find that interesting? I do. I don't just find that interesting, I find that a complete vindication of everything that I keep saying. And it sort of dovetails with this decision today by the FCC. To the extent that... Well, terrestrial radio is dead. It just is. I mean, I hope the folks who, you know, and look, I'm not saying that because we don't listen. I'm saying that because the Murdochs and the Foxes and the Clear Channels of the world don't want progressive opinion, don't want progressive talk on their airwaves, because they view them first and foremost as their airwaves. Not the public airwaves, silly, silly little listener. their airwaves. Because, again, this goes into a discussion of the business model that is broadcasting. Clear Channel's airwaves are not a means of public expression. They talk, they play the bad music, you shut up and listen and pay attention to the daggum commercials and go out and buy some junk, okay? You got it? Now, just to drag that little word out again, this could be remedied, but we will be blistered for being proto-commies or pinkos or, you know the drill.
Anti-business.
But a Democratic president with a Democratic Congress could move to force the FCC to divest and go back to make these media conglomerates divest and go back to a much more workable system that was much more a service to the public. They could, but they won't. The Congress and the Democratic president could compel a breakup of the huge media conglomerates just like they broke up AT&T. They could, but they will not. Because they're not willing to take the kinds of hits that they would take if they actually attempted to return a semblance of freedom to this country. The dog and pony show that is Clear Channel went out buying up every station, you know, little mom and pop station out in Busted Knuckle, you know, spanning the county with 40 powerful watts.
We'll give you $5 million for it.
Okay. And the next thing you know, the Busted Knuckle station's playing the same crap that's playing in Fargo, that's playing the same crap that's playing in Peoria, it's playing the same crap that's playing in Jonesboro, that's on and on and on. Losing money hand over fist. The Clear Channel just recently dumped a ton of employees. Why? Because it is not about the media, or in the singular, the radio instance, it is not about the medium. It is about limiting your access to information. Whether that information be the latest hot hit on the country, or whether it's the latest hot hit on the Hot 100 CHR format, or whether it's your access to basic information regarding the politics, regarding our society, regarding our culture, regarding the world. The point is to keep you from being informed. The point is to keep that slow, steady, opiate drip of drivel running into your brain. And if you want to work away from that philosophy, you will, by God, do so on the internet or not at all. We learned that lesson. It appears that Cenk Uygur and the Young Turk has learned it as well. And he's headed back to the internet. Welcome back, Cenk. Welcome back to where the heat is. Welcome back to where the life is. Welcome back to where the America that wants to hear you is. So I find that very, very interesting. Let's take a quick break. Like I said, we don't have any Q&A. They've got some tech problems that haven't been sorted out yet. But we'll take a quick break right now and check in with Labor Radio. see what's going on there, and come back and start the second hour of the program. Okay by you? Okay by me. Thanks. I'm Bob. We'll be back. This is The Horn.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Swing voters in the 2008 presidential election are focused on issues like affordable health care, good jobs with wages that can support families, secure retirement, and real economic opportunity for the next generation. That's according to Lake Research Partners, based on polling they've done for the Change to Win Labor Federation. This strong voter focus could produce the most significant political change since 1980, according to Change to Win. Pollster Celinda Lake says voters overwhelmingly believe that the American dream is in jeopardy. And she says there's been a broad paradigm shift toward the basic working family values embedded in the American dream concept. Lake says the presidential candidate who offers the best leadership on these core economic issues could make 2008 a watershed election. It could be a cold winter for 400,000 Ohioans. Jesse Russell reports.
The Columbus Dispatch is reporting grim news for the 400,000 Ohioans that depend on the Home Energy Assistance Program to help offset heating fuel costs. With winter just starting, Ohio has already begun exhausting the funds in the program due to rising fuel costs for propane and heating oil users. The program sets aside $37 million for the entire winter, and it has already burned through more than half. Ohio isn't alone in the chilly plight. State fuel assistance program directors across the United States have been waiting patiently to see if their calls for the president to increase funding for the Federal Energy Assistance Program by $1 billion are answered. So far, those calls have fallen on deaf ears as President Bush has responded by threatening to slash the funding by 44%. If that happens, it would eliminate assistance for at least 1.1 million households across the country. What happens if households can't pay? Vermont is the only state in the union that protects oil and propane customers from being disconnected if they can't pay the cost.
The Communications Workers of America and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists are calling on the Federal Communications Commission to provide for a full review process of the comments made to proposed revisions to the newspaper broadcast ownership rule, changes proposed by Chairman Kevin Martin. The unions want an open process, including a 90-day comment period, to help resolve issues of localism and women and minority ownership of broadcast media.
Here is today's economic report. How does the country's former Federal Reserve chairman feel we should handle the mortgage crisis? Alan Greenspan says throw money at the problem. The former chairman told ABC's This Week that creating a larger budget deficit should be the least of the government's concerns, as throwing a cash pillow under mortgage borrowers and creating a short-term fiscal problem would be much less damaging to the economy than the current solution, freezing the prices of homes and interest rates. Greenspan's approach runs counter to that of Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Okie dokie, then. That was brief, but it was a nice break. Even marathon talk freaks like myself have to have a minute or two here and there. If only to go, next round. You know what I mean. Let's go back, some of you may just get sick of this, and you're free to tell me you are if you want to, but let's go back. I want to revisit Brother Mac for just a minute now, because he's really done it now. He's crossed William Donahue of the Catholic League. Oh, Mike. Ah, boy. I mean, remember the last time William Donahue got mad? He almost had a sculptor killed by a raving mad mob of fundamentalist Roman Catholics over the chocolate Jesus. I'm not kidding. Man had to flee for his life. Because he sculpted a big old crucifix for Easter that showed Jesus and his chocolate Johnson. What a freak. Catholic League President Bill Donahue said Huckabee went beyond wishing people a joyous holiday in the ad. Donahue said he was especially disturbed by the cross-like image created by a white bookcase in the background of the ad, saying he believed it was a subliminal message. Now, William, see, this is how crazy it gets. Now you got William Donahue, the head of the right-wing freak Catholic League, complaining about images of crosses. Because, you know, they're not the right cross. It's not a real cross, and unless it's got a gory Jesus a-hanging on it. It reminds me of, bless her heart, my aunt. We were talking about some of this one time, and she said, don't those people understand he got down? God love her. It's a subliminal message, Donahue said. What he's trying to say to the evangelicals in Western Iowa is, I'm the real thing. You know what? Sell yourself on your issues and not what your religion is. Well, I agree with that part. But Donahue, you're so crazy, I can't imagine what the real issues are. The convert or die? Huckabee, though, and see, this is why I keep trying to warn you guys. There's something slightly engaging about this freak. You know what his comeback was? You're going to love this, Billy Shears. His comeback was that the bookshelf is just a bookshelf. You know, it's a bookshelf. It just is. But he said, and I quote, I will confess this. If you play the spot backwards, it says Paul is dead, Paul is dead. Mm-hmm. See, that's he's showing the secularists that he can be hip and digs the Beatles. And that he's not still mad at John for saying the Beatles were bigger than God. Because, you know, Mike Huckabee's a bass player. There's lots of bass player jokes out there. I'll leave those to John Fox or, you know, somebody else. So he's gotten on the fighting side of Bill Donahue. Never a good sign. And of course, I mentioned another story that's out there, but more and more of these are turning up. One at a time. Mike Huckabee has multiple sons. And apparently, one of these sons went to Wachita Baptist University. See how quickly I got through that? That's because I'm a Southerner, and I know that it's Wachita. Apparently, the incredibly talented, lovely, fabulous Stephanie Miller just sort of copped out on trying to pronounce it. But, you know, no. You got to know your geography if you're going to be a redneck boy, which I are. Now, it turns out that one of the Huckabee boys went to Wachita Baptist University, and what he was known for on campus was having the single largest collection of porn magazines of anybody on campus. Well, I was informed by this by our good friend Marty, who said, you know, in recent history, how often does it turn out that these brought up right with the good Christian values instilled, mostly meaning beaten into them, turn out to be perverts and other types of sexual deviants? To be fair, I'm not going to criticize anybody for having a dirty magazine. Or several. I'll leave that to people who are more conversant with the whys and wherefores of if it's dangerous and why it is or why not, yada, yada, yada. What I will, however, do is criticize these freaks for, you know, because, you know, the Southern Baptist, every time a dirty magazine store pops up, they're out there protesting. What was it, a couple of weeks ago we had the story about the Fundy ministers and his weird little church out there witnessing in the parking lot of the dirty bookstore in Ohio somewhere? And I just use that as a shorthand, dirty bookstore. Because that's the way it is in America. If it's sexual, it's dirty. I mean, for heaven's sakes, this goober equated being gay with doing it with dead people. Whew. Man, you can't beat that. I mean, you can't pay that stuff to, you can't pay to have that stuff written. And of course, there's the other Huckabee son story. Now, never mind the fact that he has drawn the support of homeschool families, you know, homeschooled kids like the guy that shot up the mall in Omaha. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The homeschooler was the guy who shot up the church in Colorado. I can't tell them without a program anymore. But at any rate, no, there's a Huckstaby son out there who apparently got, do I have this right, got thrown out of the Boy Scouts because they tortured a dog to death? No, really. I wish I was kidding. Yeah. 18-year-old David Huckstaby and 17-year-old Clayton Frady tortured a dog to death when they were Boy Scouts or Boy Scout leaders or some such, and they got fired for it. This was covered back in 1998 by the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. The dog was killed July 11th back in 1998. They caught a stray dog at Boy Scout Camp, Camp Pioneer in Hatfield, Arkansas. Then they hung him by its, they hung it by its neck. Then they slit its throat. And then they threw rocks at it until it was dead. In other words, they stoned the dog to death. Oh my God. Not that I'm comparing or anything. And frankly, I've been more than a little loath to holler that the Michael Vick conviction was a product of racism, because what he did was so loathsome, I can't imagine race making a difference in it. But I have heard the argument put forward. Some activist black lawyer by the name of Shabazz, who I guess is like Malcolm X's grandson or some such, was hollering. And in fact, it was last week, right before Mark Levine's show that he does from Pacifica Radio in Washington, D.C., was hollering about the Michael Vick case being a clear-cut case of another man keeping a brother down. Another case of the man. You get the idea. And I thought, that's just over the top. Nobody is more prone to look for racism in events, I would suggest, or at least no white guy, than me. But running a dog fighting enterprise, whether you're black or white, deserves incredible punishment. I mean, it's one of those things where it's not a putting somebody in prison over that is not a part of our national punishment fetish. You can't equate a guy who runs a 6- and 7-digit dog killing, dog fighting operation with a guy who's in prison because he had 2 grams of crack in his pocket. No can do. Sorry. But now I gotta wonder. Because, you see, I've told you the story about David Huckstaby, and he was at the time 18 years old. That means he was an adult. And could have stood too on criminal charges. But the Reverend Mack, when he was governor of Arkansas, got it covered up. He got it covered up. Now, he and his supporters alleged that the case against Wayne DuMond who raped a little 17-year-old girl. They alleged that there was no real evidence and that it was all part of a Clinton conspiracy by the, what did they call it, the Clinton clan? Bone-crushing vindictiveness, that was another phrase I think that was used in the quote I saw over at Bart Kopp a few days ago. So they let Wayne Dumond out to rape and murder again. And at the same time, roughly, the Reverend Mike is letting his son get away with an act of the most pure evil sadism. They hanged the dog by his neck, slit his throat, and stoned him to death. Now, I can't guess, but I know I do know a little bit about the summer youth camps and things like that. And, yeah, when you're out in the woods, it's not surprising to have a stray dog sort of come along and adopt you. And he'll wag his tail. And he'll snorkel around on you. And he'll hope that maybe you'll give him a little bit of scraps from your dinner. Because America really does have a stray animal population problem. And it's heartbreaking, and it's sad. And I've seen people, go on now. If you feed them, they won't go away. Come on now. Yeah, yeah. But to take a dog, because see, first you've got to, in order to do what David Huxterby did, you've got to win that dog's confidence. You've got to get him to come to you. Come here, boy. Come here. Come here. Come here, boy. That's a nice boy. Come here. Let me scratch him behind his ears. Quick, get the rope around his neck. Come here, boy. Oh, that's a nice boy. Yes. Oh, I know. That's so sweet. He's going to roll over on his back, and we're going to scratch his tummy. Oh, that's a nice boy, and we're going to slit it open in a little bit when we're stoning you to death. See it in your mind for what it is. See it in your mind beyond the simple, sterile words that they hanged the dog by his neck, slitting his throat, and stoning him to death. There's a lot more goes into it than those simple words describe. Yeah, that's some son Mike Huxterby's raised. He's certainly got the moral values to lead this country. And he's a big old pussle-gutted thing, too, this David Huxterby. Win a dog's confidence, for which a dog returns nothing but pure love. And then murder it. And then murder it. And your moral pastor daddy gets it all covered up for you and makes sure there aren't any criminal charges that you would have to deal with. What did Mark Twain say? If heaven was gained on merit, our dogs would get in, but we would stay out. Yeah, I reckon so. And double that for David Huxterby. Hey, who have I got?
This is Alan.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Oh, hanging in there. How about you?
Pretty good, I reckon. That's just a... I love dogs, and I can't stand stories about people doing evil things to dogs. I guess I'm just a big old marshmallow.
Yeah. I was thinking when you were saying that's what these Republicans want to do to these trusting Christians. They want to get their trust and act like they're good for these Christians around the country, but all they want to do is just rob them, steal them blind.
Well, that's what they always do, isn't it? And lead them like sheep to the slaughter.
I was at a truck stop the other day, and there was two. I was at a Subway in a truck stop, Subway sandwiches.
Yeah.
And there's two Indian-looking guys ahead of me getting a sandwich. And they got their sandwich made, and they left. And then the lady working behind the counter, she said, I couldn't tell. You know, she tried to whisper. She says, I didn't know if they were Christian or not, and I didn't know whether to say Merry Christmas or not. And I said to her, just say Happy Holidays. She said, I forgot exactly what she said. I'm not going to dilute Christianity or something like that. I guess she's one of those.
Oh, God, the culture war is being fought by a woman behind the counter at Subway.
Yeah. So then I said, because she assumed that I'm Christian, then I said, I'm not Christian. And she said, well, I'm sorry. And then she wanted to go ahead and ask me what I wanted on my sandwich. And then I didn't let that slide by. And I said to her, I said, did you say you're sorry that I'm not a Christian? And she said, yes. And I turned around and walked out.
Good on you, Alan. Good on you.
Oh, man, I just can't take that.
No, nor should you have to. Nor should you have to.
Why these people who claim they're Christians, they just don't consider other people's feelings?
Well, because your feelings don't matter, Alan. Their job is to win your soul for Christ Jesus. I mean, I've got another one of these AFA, American Family Association, action alerts here. Title, Help Sink Old Navy's Blockade. You'd think a company that gets the vast majority of its business from Christians would be respectful of its customers. Such is true of companies that don't have an anti-Christian bias, but not at Old Navy. Old Navy has put a blockade around Christmas.
Why is that? Because they put Happy Holidays on the window?
Yeah. They sell holiday gifts. They don't close their stores on Christmas. They close on holiday. They don't observe Christmas morning. They observe holiday morning. They don't wish customers a Merry Christmas. They wish them a Happy Holiday. Old Navy boycotts Christmas.
It seems like the old movies that I've seen back in the 40s, it seems like I've always, around Christmas, in those old movies, they say Happy Holidays. It's just something respectful.
Yeah, well, you know, even if you're a hardcore Christian, there's Christmas and then there's New Year's.
Yeah.
And those are two holidays. So, Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah.
The AFA is really, really ticked off, Alan, because Old Navy even makes a joke out of Christmas by offering video greetings called Happy Christmaka. You know, acting like Christmas is the same thing as Hanukkah. Yeah.
Those people have no respect.
You know what? I hate to use phrases like "What's America coming to?" But honest to Pete, Alan, what is America coming to when you can't get a doggone sandwich for lunch without having some fundamentalist who doesn't even understand 10 cents worth of the religion they profess try to cram it down your throat?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking this Bill O'Reilly, he's making people get upset about nothing, because I feel like I've been around a lot of people who are not Christian in my life. And when somebody says even Merry Christmas to them, it doesn't seem to bother them. It's just he's making a big deal about nothing.
Well, I feel bad for you, but you know the folks that I don't know. I'm such a jerk. I would have called the home office of Subway and complained and tried to get the woman's job. That's how big of a Grinch I am at Christmas time. You're a nicer guy than I am, Alan.
Well, you might not believe this, but this is the second time this has happened to me at a truck stop. The other time, this lady was writing "Merry Christmas" on the window, and just as a conversation starter, I said, "Well, you misspelled a word," and she said, "No, I didn't." But then she says, "Well, I'm not going to put Happy Holidays on there. I don't want to be politically incorrect."
Oh God, and I can well, I've got a little bit of an idea the nature of your routes and stuff, and it's a pretty even guess. I could where these things are happening. But you know, these are the people that the O'Reillys and the Hannitys and the Limbaughs speak to. These multi millionaires who have a bunch of idiots convinced that we're just like you are. Holy mackerel! What a con! If I only had a little bit more larceny in my heart, I could be rich. But then again,
we were talking.
Go ahead, Alan.
I said you were talking the other day to Juanita about the virgin birth,
mm-hmm.
and that sounded like an interesting thing. It's in religion, but I never heard you mention something very important about that. Is the reason for the virgin birth? It means it's the birth of the spirit or the psyche more than a birth of the flesh.
Well, there's an element of truth to it, but that's a little bit more toward modern psychology. In terms of the ancient history itself, all kinds of gods were born of virgins. I mean, you really couldn't make it into no self-respecting god wasn't. You couldn't make it into the clique and get people to take you seriously unless you had some miraculous claptrap to back it up. And they lived in a world that had no mass media, that had a world literacy rate of something on the order of 5% or less. And so things got passed by word of mouth, and then it gets passed in terms of, he has to be the Messiah. He was born of a virgin. But you read St. Paul, and there's nothing there. And St. Paul's letters, for all I hold St. Paul in extreme disrepute, St. Paul's letters are older than the Gospels.
Can you say that last part again?
I said St. Paul's letters are older than the Gospels.
Oh, yeah.
So, you would think that since he's closer to the actual life of Christ, he would have been more likely to have heard about the virgin birth.
Yeah, and all these ideas came from the Roman religion before Christianity.
Roman religion, Egyptian religion, Near Eastern religion, the Adonis virgin birth comes out of Near Eastern faiths, Asia Minor, that kind of thing.
Where'd you learn all this?
Religion classes, read a lot of books, paid attention. Some of it was just trying to balance out the brainwashing I got in the church.
Yeah, I'm dying to learn about all this stuff, but I just don't have time to read. I wish I could find it on some MP3 file or something.
There's stuff out there, but I don't know. I'm sure this exists on a audio book or some such. Bart Ehrman's Misquoting Jesus. That'll just blow the doors off, and there's a great bibliography at the end of the book, so you can go to other sources and learn from them as well.
Well, there's a big world out there. When you find out these other traditions, it seems like it seems to free me instead of make me feel like,
well, that's
scared or something.
That's exactly it. It does free you. And but please understand that there are certain, and primarily the monotheistic religions, speak in terms of slavery to God and being a servant of, and yada, 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 and it is the exact antithesis of freedom. That's why the United States was born out of the minds of men who wholly rejected the traditional orthodoxy because they didn't want to be servants anymore. They didn't want to be slaves to an invisible God or an untouchable king.
I would think that one of the reasons why they had that point of view is because they lived closer to the time when of Europe, when the church in Europe controlled everything with the iron fist.
Well, that's true, too. That's entirely true, too. So are you going to be on the road Christmas Day, do you know yet?
I think we'll have our family Christmas party before Christmas, so I think I'm going to be out Christmas Day, which I don't mind. I think it's kind of fun. There's not many cars.
I would say Christmas Day is probably one of the calmest days to be operating a semi.
Yeah, or Christmas Eve. That's a pretty good one. that's nice.
Yeah, and the day after Christmas is probably just awful with everybody heading home.
Yeah. Well, I guess I better get off. I got to get off this interstate pretty soon. I'm on I-99 up in Pennsylvania, driving on the part of the interstate.
Well, probably a good idea. By all means, stay safe. We think about you all the time, Alan.
All right, thanks.
You take care now. Okay.
Bye.
I-99? Okay, map time. Where's I-99? That must be like way the heck and gone in Pennsylvania. Oh, shoot. Somebody didn't stick with us. So we are halfway through tonight's program, and yeah, we've done Mike Huckstraby a good bit of the time, and if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I reiterate the fact that we have to talk about this because the other side won't. And if you have the information and the facts with which to dispel the myth of the holiness of Reverend Mike, if you can, you know, write a letter to the editor of the newspaper the next time you catch him calling him former Arkansas governor, and you can write a letter and ask him, why aren't you calling him current Reverend Huckabee? Because it's what he is. Then you've got, you know, you're doing the right thing. You're engaging in citizen journalism. So there you have it. Now, there's other stuff out there. There's incredibly disturbing stuff out there. There's spooky stuff out there. By the way, if you're going to participate in the Christmas consumer orgy, I highly encourage you to patronize Old Navy, The Gap, and Banana Republic. Because they appear to have held fast against these freaks, the language police, the Merry Christmas police, from outfits like the American Family Association. You know, big bold letters. Old Navy doesn't want to offend non-Christians, but they sure don't worry about offending Christians. Really? It's really, really offensive to phony Christians not to be beaten over the head with Merry Christmas? Those are some simple, simple people. Incredibly simple people. And in their simplicity, this is not the simplicity of a simple faith leading to simple goodness. This is the simplicity of the pig-eyed and mean. So, if you're going to go shopping, be as careful as the freaks are. Give your business to people that have not knuckled under to them. No, disturbing stuff? Yeah. This bit, I don't know fully what all you listen to, so I don't necessarily know what you've heard because I don't necessarily listen to it. This is an editorial from an Arabic language paper dated December 15th. Security officials say scores of armed men have entered the province of Nineveh with orders to detonate the Mosul Dam. The dam is 60 kilometers west, you know, call it, 40 miles west of the city of Mosul. And it was reported earlier in the month, or perhaps last month, that the dam has severe structural problems and presents a downstream hazard. Quote, some 250 armed men have entered Nineveh province with the aim of detonating the Mosul Dam. Another source said information was based on intelligence tips passed to provincial authorities recently. The men were trained in Pakistan, the source added. Last month, the U.S. Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction warned that the dam was the most dangerous in the world and its foundations could give away in any moment. The Iraqi government dismissed the U.S. Allegations. The sources said the government feared these rebels, so-called, would seize on the idea of the weakness of the dam in order to attack it and cause massive damage and casualties downstream. If the dam goes, it will unleash a 60-foot high wall of water on Mosul, wherein reside some 1.7 million human beings who are already tormented beyond belief by the occupation. They also say they fear that whoever it is that blows up this structure may wait until May, when the reservoir behind the dam is at its maximum capacity. Yesterday, a truck packed with explosives blew up very nearby the Mosul Dam. Army Corps of Engineers people, as I said, have previously warned about the construction faults. There was no damage to the dam itself. Abdul Khalak Danun said a section of the 250-meter-long metal bridge, which is about a half a mile from the dam, was destroyed in the explosion. Now, pardon my paranoia. It just is what it is. I'm sorry. But if masked men blow up this dam, are you willing to just say, oh, well, you know, must have been Al-Qaeda? Or are you suspicious enough to wonder what kind of government contracts for rebuilding the dam would go to the likes of Halliburton, Kellogg Burn and Loot, and Blackwater for the security and the reconstruction? I mean, I just asking. To the phones. Hi, who have I got?
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita, how are you, dear?
I'm fine. How are you? I had to hang up a while ago. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Who do you think is going to blow up that dam? Or are you free to say?
Well, I don't know. I mean, my speculation is as good as yours, and yours is as good as mine.
But probably the same thing.
But I wouldn't put it past us. And to the extent that there are people outside Iraq who would like to see something like that happen, I guess I wouldn't put it past them. There is lots of evil in this world as we approach Christmas 2007.
Well,
you know what I mean?
We've got plenty of it over here.
Yeah, we do.
We've got enough to go around for everybody. Anyway, that Mike Huckabee thing about the guy, his son,
mm-hmm.
that really caps it off for me, because I think and him letting his son get away with it, that's not a father's love. That's a father's cover up.
Well, this is the crowd that's always hollering for tough love, and you've got to punish and spare the rod and spoil the politician's
right,
son, you know,
right,
that kind of thing.
Right, absolutely. And I believe in the way I believe that we're in charge of the animals, and you know I'm a Christian, so please forgive me for saying it, but
Juanita, please wait. Stop right there. Don't apologize for being Christian. Okay,
I'm not apologizing. I just don't want anyone to feel like I'm trying to force anything.
No, we understand. We understand.
But I believe
completely.
That he gave us charge over this earth, and I've heard that was another thing that helped me to get away from the right wingers. You know, you would hear them say, "Well, we're above the animals, and we can use animals, and all the animals
yeah.
are not important, and all this and that, the other. The earth is not important." But see, I don't interpret it that way. I don't see it that way. In fact, sometimes I'm kind of like this one guy said, I think sometimes the animals are a whole lot better than we are.
Oh, I don't doubt that in the least.
I
don't doubt that in the least, because the animals, Juanita, don't do evil.
Right. Right.
Animals, you know, if an animal kills, an animal kills to eat.
Right. Right.
You never see a grizzly bear standing in the middle of a salmon run, just pulling salmons and tearing their heads off and throwing the bodies away.
Right.
This
right.
is how they live.
Uh huh. And I just heard, and the last time I heard the guy that wrote the Left Behind, him and his wife, I've never liked him.
LaHaye, yeah.
I've never liked him. There's something about them. But anyway, he was on Rachel Maddow's show. This was 2-3 years ago. And he was so cold toward her, you know, because she's gay.
Yeah.
And he was, well, I'm sorry, but you're just not going to make it. I have to be honest. And then he was talking about the animals are there for us to use. That's not what I see. That's not the way I see it. I think we're going to have to answer for how we treat, you know, that song, Bless the Beast and the Children?
Yeah.
And it's helpless people, too. And you know, they don't care if those people are there drowned, as far as the dam. I tell you, it just breaks my heart, don't it, yours? I know it does.
Sure it does.
It's just horrible. I don't know. It's just awful. And we had a case down here where this dog, someone tried to skin it alive.
Ugh.
It had started skinning it. It was a big old dog, you know, and this was on TV where I saw the news. Somebody rescued it, and they took and they had, you know, were so good to it. You know, they got it all patched up where it was going to live and everything, and somebody adopted it. And it showed him on TV, and it had a doll in its mouth, and I thought that was so sweet. You know, like you said, like Mark Twain said, that if any creature would go into heaven, it would be them.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely would, yeah. And, you know, they help people. I don't know. It's just awful the way it breaks my heart. And for that guy to not try to get his son out of it, at least Clinton had his brother, he let his brother be arrested for his drug stuff because he wanted to help him.
Yeah, but see, you got to understand, Juanita, David Huxtable didn't need to be punished by the state because Jesus had already forgiven him.
Uh-huh. Well?
No.
twisted.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, I think it was Guy was saying, was there any of the Republicans that he would vote for? Lord have mercy, no.
No.
Not a one of them.
No, the reason I've talked about Huxtable a good bit lately is because we liberals and progressives, especially a certain demographic segment of us, tend to go, oh, they're insane. They couldn't win. And this is the same crowd that looked at George W. Bush in 1999 and said, he can't beat Al Gore. He'll never be president. He's a moron. And you underestimate these kinds of repiglicans at your peril. I know you don't underestimate a Mike Huxtable, but Juanita, I promise you, there are liberals and progressives all over this country
especially in church.
Well, could be, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that's my knowledge of it. I'm sure that the churches that I have gone to are saying, oh, he's a Christian, he's one of us.
I know. Juanita, it's awfully good hearing from you, dear.
You too. You take care.
All right. You have a good night now.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. And rolling along. Hey, who I got?
Hi, Bob.
Oh, hey, Luke. How's it going?
Well, we could do football for a couple of minutes and I'll cry about our problems.
Oh, God.
You lost your head coach. We're losing. Position coach.
You're losing, right and left, and Trooper Taylor and David Cutcliffe. And you know what?
Who are they talking about up there for replacing Rodriguez?
There's a lot of talk about Terry Bowden. But
that would be fun. He's always fun. I don't know as a coach, but he's always fun in the press conference.
But, I'm a geek. Back up. I was talking to our moderator from the chat room, ELO, earlier today, and I told her I should probably seek professional help because I know the world's on fire, but I'm shallow and pitiful, and I love my college football, and I find these stories interesting. And now that Rodriguez is gone, good or bad, I'm fascinated with the search, and I don't want West Virginia, my alma mater, to do to some other school what was done to us by the University of Michigan. And this is a little news flash. In the last year now, the University of Michigan has our basketball coach, our football coach, and our women's soccer coach.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding. There must be a brain drain north of Toledo that you can't even comprehend. I mean, they don't have any talent of their own. I mean, wow. I thought that, Michigan, for heaven's sakes. It's Michigan. It's the mighty maize and blue.
The area they pick.
And then I found out my son's spelling bee teacher is being courted by Michigan today. It's just pitiful. The speech pathology department has bolted for Michigan to help them work on that upper Midwestern nasal twang.
That's not what happened. Did all the people in Michigan go north into Canada? What?
I don't know. I just don't. But I think Rodriguez is going to have a real interesting little wake up here in about 6 months when he looks at his schedule and goes, fellas, why don't we have any night games? I kind of like a night game. And they go, Rich, buddy, we don't own any lights. That's not playing night.
I know it's not a joke. I know it's not.
That's not the Michigan way. Well, okay, we don't have any lights. I'd like a raise now. Rich, that's not the Michigan way.
If you won 2 or 3 national champions, we may talk to you about a race.
What was Lloyd Carr making when?
Oh God, he was compared to what some of them are making now. He was on the low end.
Yeah. So we've got a coaching search underway. You know who I wish we would talk to? And you're enough of a fan, you'll probably pick up on this. I wish we would talk to Jeff Bauer.
Okay.
Southern Miss head coach got unceremoniously...
They don't have a good team.
Well, unceremoniously dumped after 14 consecutive winning seasons. 53, 54 years old, lots of good coaching in him, said so at his press conference when he got run off.
And the thing is, they were one of the teams in the Southeast, you know, they were one of the one of the non-conference teams a lot of the people in the SEC play. And the thing is, they would usually beat some people. Because, I mean, you know, they'd beat Alabama every once in a while because, you know, because he didn't mind doing something odd. You know, he's the one that had that shifting off, that shifting defense.
Yeah. And what,
you know,
I mean, wasn't,
pick it up.
And wasn't he Brett Favre's head coach, Brett Favre's senior year in college?
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to see him talk to. I really, you know, everybody says, "Oh, talk to Jim Grobe at Wake Forest." You know, I don't want to do that to Wake Forest.
You pick somebody from a nice middle school. You know what I mean? Middle sized school that deserves a chance to go up to the big schools. Deserves a lot of good, you know, excuse the term, second tier coaches.
Well, I just
out there.
You know, I don't want a $4 million mercenary like Nick Saban.
Yeah.
He's a West Virginia export that I would very much like to have him remain exported. And
well, that's what we're still waiting on. We figure he's got at least another year. They'll give him on it. Then the long knives are out.
Oh, by the time he loses his third straight game to Auburn, the party's over. All bets are off.
They'll have already moved him out of his house. He won't even know it. He'll come home. There'll be no furniture.
But you know,
they'll do it down here.
But the insanity, Luke, is reigning supreme here. I mean, you know, I just mentioned Nick Saban. There are people actually going, you know, I wonder if we could get him. I think we could. I'd like to try. I bet he'd take a pay cut to come back home to West Virginia. No, he wouldn't. The man has the ethics of a catfish and the morals of a televangelist, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, God. Well, let's get on to politics. We can do this for an hour. We don't need the people. I know.
Yeah, I don't want to run. I don't want to run people out of the chat room.
All right, start with. Let's see. Okay, how did you enjoy the Media Matters article I sent you about Mr. Matthews?
Oh, you know, nothing ceases to amaze me anymore. I mean, he just... I'll be honest. I don't know why the dude's on the air.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like, say, I'll turn it on just to see if there's some news going on. You know what I mean? Real news. But most of the time, like I say, I've got it on right now, and I just got the sound off. Because, like I say, I don't even want to hear his voice. I'm to the point now, he's getting to me about like W. When I hear his voice, you know, fingernails on a chalkboard anymore, you know. And it's like you sit there and listen to him for about 5 minutes and you realize, yes, the breakup of the ozone is Hillary's fault.
You know, I had a shoelace break the other day, and you know how that is. It's always when you're in a hurry, Luke.
Uh-huh.
You're getting the dress shoes on, you reach down, those thin little waxed laces on men's dress shoes, and you go to tie it and it goes snap, and you don't have another pair. You know what? It was Hillary's fault.
Yeah. I mean, if you sit and listen to it for 5 minutes, any subject he's talking about is Hillary's fault. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, it's beyond an obsession. You know what I mean? It's paranoia.
That's
the only way I could think of it. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I can understand, you know, being obsessed about something, you know, following somebody such and such.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't know if he hates Senator Clinton so much because he's hot for her or because he's hot for Bill.
I think it's a little bit of both. That's the scarier part.
Yeah, I just don't. As long as I don't want to see the movie.
I don't know. Okay, I tell you what. If anybody thinks we're kidding here about this, I tell you the site I love to go to, and it's one you can go to, and you can and he will tell you, and he doesn't tell you, but he'll show you the evidence that this is no more than a repeat of the 2000 thing. Is go over to DailyHowler.com.
Oh, Bob Summerby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a dandy.
He will show you how this is all the exact same. Same playbook they did in 1999 and 2000 against Gore. I mean, the exact same things he said against Hillary are the exact same things he said against Gore. He just changed the word here and there, but it's virtually the exact same attack. And you were talking about Mr. Mike Huckstery. I tell you who I
no, that's reading. Reverend Mike. Don't get caught.
Reverend Mike, I'm sorry. The high muckety muck Reverend. Yes, indeed. I tell you the person who you want to read on that. And he doesn't do it all the time, but if you really want to read somebody, I'd probably go back in his stuff, in his archive.
Oh, Gene Lyons?
Yes.
Yeah, from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Oh, he's a dandy.
He just had a thing about 2 weeks ago telling the whole story on this whole Wayne DeMond thing. And the thing is, that's the tip of the iceberg. There's more people besides Mr. DeMond. You know what I mean? If you read some of the stories coming out, they talk about some of these people he's pardoned. And he didn't pardon DeMond, but, like, you know, isn't it amazing how he kept claiming he didn't influence anybody? And the next thing you see is the surviving member of the parole board on there saying, oh, he came over and he was, you know, leaning on us to grant him a parole.
He walked in the room with a taser. Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
I know. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, he did.
Firstly, the day after they had this guy on saying it, and it's like, I don't hear anybody saying Mike Huckabee's a liar. Where is that? You know, it's just an incredible thing. And one thing about the news, did you notice the I know you've been on the air, but I bet 10-1 if you watch the replay of the national news or whatever, really enough, this whole FCC decision, some reason, isn't being talked about a whole lot.
No.
The day where they had their little vote about the companies being able now to buy a paper in the same town they may have a television station or a radio station.
Yeah.
It's when they've been having all these public meetings saying, oh, we're listening to the public. Well, they listen. I can tell
how they listened. They went ahead and voted against the will of, you know, over numerous requests from both the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a promise from the Bush administration. Kevin Martin? Got a promise from the Bush administration that he'd veto anything that the Congress tried to do to upset the apple cart. What amazes me is, you know, and it's the eternal, you know, I don't want to sit here and say that I think that millions and millions of Americans are just abject, you know, morons. I don't, because I'm not that much of an elitist snob, but I do think they're not paying attention.
Well, I mean, like I said, this is one of the stories that, amazingly enough, unless you really listen for it, you're not going to hear about this. So most people go, no, that didn't happen. Oh, yes, it did. Said, you all were talking about Stacey Peterson, or you all were talking about such and such. And this was going on, and this was the news.
I will never forget what dominated the news cycle at the time that, you know, George Bush was not reading that PDB that said Bin Laden determined to strike in U.S.
Was that Condit?
I think there was some Condit, but mostly it was shark attacks.
Oh, yes, okay. Well, see, remember, Condit was through the summer, and then at the end of summer, I think, is when the shark attack stuff came out. You know, oh, gosh, you know what I mean? It's like, say, every time you turn around and see these cable channels, it's like, you know, guys, I understand you have to do a little bit of it, but do it like Oberman. Do it in sections. So he gives them 10 minutes, and he'll do, you know, that last 10 minutes. He'll usually do the fluff part, you know, that he has to sort of pay his price, you know, to get on the air. And usually that last one of his five countdown of subjects is usually the Paris Hilton story or, you know, whatever. And that's fine. He at least sections it out so you know that the one.
And he's also made it clear that doing that is not his idea.
His choice. Yeah, it's like I say, that's his price he has to pay to stay on the air. I have to do this, you know, or they'll bring someone else in next week who'll do it for them. You know, it's one of these things. And you heard the this rumor now going around that MSNBC's talking about they may be putting, was it Rachel Maddow on the air?
It'd suit me fine.
Well, apparently, you know, I think the way they're talking, they may be saying goodbye to the boy bow tie. You know, he's got those Alan Keyes kind of numbers. You know.
Oh yeah, like, but he doesn't have the charm of an Alan Keyes though.
It's one of those things.
Well, the other side of that though, Luke, is this story that Rachel's producer or right-hand man or whatever on her radio show got ditched last month at Air America. They've come to a parting of the ways, supposedly amicable with the Young Turks. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if Rachel Maddow's agent isn't out there, you know, sort of encouraging people to, you know, kick the tires. And frankly, she's very, very good. She's personable and pleasant in front of a camera.
Well, and it's like the thing you said about Young Turks. I mean, if anybody's ever listened to them online and listened to them on the air, you understand the differences. You know, on air, they have to cut a whole bunch of stuff out because, you know, they speak freely. to an internet audience. I mean, that's what they essentially are, and they're just kind of form-fitting it to go on the radio. These are people who speak for the internet, and they will use language that will get you off of terrestrial radio without trying hard. You know, when it sometimes goes off, sometimes it's like, Katie, bar the door. Make sure the dog's not in the room. You don't want to offend him. Come on. Because sometimes he'll let go, and that's fine. I mean, but you know what I mean? It's one of those things. When they put them on there, I say, oh, God, they're going to have to put the, have the, not the 7 second button, they're going to have the minute and 7 second button. Because sometimes the sensor's going to be holding his heart going, no.
I know. Well, sure. But, you know, it's not just the censorship issue.
Oh, no.
It is, it's the very, well, I don't know. I mean, nobody's out there quoting me or anything. We're just us sitting in our little room talking. But the fact of the matter is, liberal, progressive, normal, decent talk radio can't exist in the terrestrial FCC-dominated format because it is not supposed to. It is not wanted. The ownership is, I mean, you know, we had the long discussion with the guy from Center for American Progress several months ago. And he said, look, you know, until the ownership structure changes, the programming is going to remain the same.
Well, you know, they've had the, you know, and you've seen stories on this, I'm sure, you know, you listen to some of the trade stuff, you know, where some of these places where, you know, the local religious right comes in, buys the channel, changes the format, and their ratings drop through the floor, and they're like, that's okay.
And they're fine by it because, again, they've got a balance. They can balance that loss leader out against their big winner in a big market.
Yeah. You know,
and that points, Luke, to what a bad thing allowing massive multiple market media ownership is. Because if you really, under free market dynamics, want to provide the best product to each customer. When you're allowing one station to go south and just suck in order to balance the profits of your other, you know, so-called big-time major league station.
The fact that you have the big stations and the small stations in the town.
Yeah.
And if the big stations are designed like that and the small stations are designed to be bad. I mean, they're
Not just that. It's about letting a station in Cincinnati go under. Or just, you know, suck book after book after book in order to balance that against your, you know, because it's all balanced on a national book for the Clear Channels or the Infinities of the world.
Yeah.
They balance sucking in Cincinnati against, you know, kicking ass in Chicago. And so as a consequence, that means that people in Cincinnati get crappy programming. So that they can continue to maintain a huge, highly profitable market share in another town.
Okay.
It's not just internal to any given market. It's spread out all over creation, and that's why it's so bad. They're literally sacrificing the public airwaves and quality programming for the public in one area in order. And it has nothing more or less to do with anything than simply not paying taxes.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, say, we're hopeful, and we know this probably won't happen too. But you know, we hope if we get a Democrat in the White House that some of this will turn around. But you got to wonder how much of it's going to be so far gone they can't do anything directly. You know, you'd like to have an FCC where they're sitting there going, "Look, folks, we work for the people. Your corporation, you standing behind the people." It ain't going to happen, but we hope it does.
Yeah, but it's all been set up quite masterfully by the right wing
to put
the Democrats in the worst light. Either way,
you got to get the news.
No worries at all, Luke. We'll talk soon. All right, take
okay,
care.
Have a good.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah. We will take a little break. I don't have any news or anything, but we will take a little break. And let's see. Let's take a little tune heading out, and then a quick break for some promos and PSAs and a little commercial matter. If you want to get in on the conversation, you are certainly more than welcome to do so.
You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support
support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm back. And just when you thought it was safe to go back to the dance floor. Hugs, my little magpies. Strictly Confidential is live tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
I'm really taking that water conservation PSA to heart. Especially after this last weekend. Oh, great big plumbing crisis. I think I mentioned it briefly last night. It was seriously no fun. Some part of which had to do with dumping a couple of hundred gallons of water into the basement. Sump pump was working overtime. Can't wait to see the bill. I have a sneaking suspicion that screaming will be involved. Mine, Agnes's. Oh, yeah. So back to the phones we go. We have Bob calling from North Dakota. Hey, Bob.
I have to laugh. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh.
Bob.
Yeah.
Think about it. Okay? You want to go to the way, way, way back machine? You know, hey, Mr. Peabody.
Yeah. Set the Wayback Machine before my plumbing busted.
Yeah, before your plumbing busted, okay? Before everybody was so worried about whatever happened to them, Bob. Think about it. Just for a moment. When did we worry or think about our neighbor and whatever worries or whatever wants or whatever needs they had, okay? I'm going to take you to the way, way, way back machine, okay?
All right.
I'm going to take you to a place and, hey, maybe I'll sing. Hey, anyone want to hear me sing? Okay?
Okay.
Oh, the games people play now, every night and every day now, never mean what they say now, and they don't give a damn, Bob. Because you don't. None of you give a damn. Not one of you give a damn about the boys that went up on 661 and 881, okay? You don't remember them. You don't even think about them. But I went up there with them, okay?
Yeah.
And you don't remember it. But, hey, how many of you remember the boys that went to Fallujah? How many of you remember the boys that went into Fallujah just a day or two ago? To you, it's nothing because you're playing games, Bob. You're worried about football, baseball, basketball.
No, just stop it. Bob, no. I'm sorry. I am entitled to get out of the swamp once in a while.
you are definitely allowed to get out of the swamp. But, Bob, realize where they have taken us, okay? Where we can't have a good day anymore. We can't have one because they have taken the fun. They have taken the decency out of baseball. They have taken the decency out of football. They have taken the decency. No, these corporate bastards have taken the decency out of the top. The day when you could look up to Babe Ruth and say, yeah, you sucked one out of the doggone ballpark. But he may have been a drunk, but he was not a steroid user, right?
Yeah, but you think if they'd had him then, he might have?
Well, maybe, but good God, Bob. You can't come back and say, well, if they had steroids, Babe Ruth would have taken them. We don't know that. We can't even go there. That's the way back machine. You can't go back to the day. You can't go back to that day that I went up that hill with those boys. You can't go there with me, Bob. You can't go back to when...
No, we are temporal beings, and we are locked into the eternal present, the gone past, and the coming future.
That's right, Bob. And that's the truth. And that's the sadness of it, is it not? It's the sadness of it. We cannot go back to that day when George W. Bush was appointed the anointed one by the, what was that again? I don't even like to think of them as Supreme Court. I think of them.
Oh my God, Bob! You know, no. Give me the opportunity. I go. No. Wait. I go back in time to, you know, the origins of these Bush creeps, and or I don't know. Maybe I go back in time and place a phone call to Babs on the day that W was conceived and tell her that there's a sale on pearls somewhere.
Make him wear a rubber, for God's sake. Make him wear a
I've got a pretty long list of things that are going to happen when I build my time machine, Bob.
See, that's the truth, Bob. You can't go back to the day it happened. You can only go forward. You can't go back and make it better. You can't go back to the day that Adolf Hitler became the Chancellor of Germany. You can't go back there. You can't go back there, Bob.
No, we have to deal with the present that we are dealt.
That's right.
And I admit to being completely clueless. As a kid growing up, I never ever
thought we would come to this.
I never saw this coming. I mean, I was
And your father. Oh my God.
I was a 10-year-old and stuff, a 12-year-old as Vietnam was ending. And I'm sitting there going, well,
Bob,
you know, we won't do this again.
Hey, Bob.
Because I've always been kind of plugged in. But, yeah, I mean, never imagined we'd do this.
No.
I never imagined we would throw the so-called peace dividend of the end of the Cold War away. But then again, that's my fault, Bob. That's my short-sightedness. Because as long as there are Republicans on the planet, there will be an urge to send some other people's children to war. There will be urges to blow other people's families off the face of the planet as long as there's a dollar to be had for it.
We've got some interference on the line right now. I'm going to have to switch over to a different phone, see if we can work. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, that's much better.
Okay. Well, I'm on a landline now.
Oh, landline, yeah, for the general calling populace, a landline is always your best bet.
Yeah, well, I'm not a general caller. I'm just this old, mixed-up ex-Marine. Or was that former Marine? Or was that, no, God.
Yeah, no,
Dang it. We ain't never anything other than Marines. That's all I have ever been. It's all I ever know is that I am a United States Marine, and I have country and to the people thereof. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to take you to the way, way, way back machine. I'm going to take you back to 1775. Okay? When the United States Marine Corps
was founded.
Became a unit of the Continental Congress, the Continental United States. We weren't even the United States then. We were just this group of people that decided that we had had enough with King George. Okay? And now, Bob, we have to come forward to this place where we're at. This is not the future. This is not the past. This is the present. It is now, right now, right here and now, today, not 10 seconds ago or when, what was his name, Dodd, stood up and said, oh, gee, I'm going to filibuster. And then this other little Republican with a D in front of his name said, oh, gee, I will not put this bill before the United States Senate. See, that's where we're at. We have gone to the way, way, way back machine, and now we've came back to the fact where we're at right now. This moment in time, and we have to say to Senator Dodd or whatever, whichever one stands up and says enough is enough, then he's what he should be, a representative of the people, not of the United States, not the United States of America, but this planet, Bob. He said, enough, enough is enough, and I'm going to draw the line, and I'm not going to go back from this line, Bob. I will stand here, and you can take my life. That's fine. When I'm dead, I'm dead. I'm not going to ask you for a second chance. Are you still there?
Right here.
Okay. Then I'm not going to ask you, can you give me a second chance? Can I have another, what was that thing that young boy asked for? Another potato, sir? You know, that was Dickens, was it not?
Yeah. More, please.
Yeah, another potato, please. No, I'm not going to ask you for another potato. I'm going to say that you have done enough. You have hurt enough human beings. You have destroyed enough animals. You have murdered enough dogs. You hung enough dogs up. And you have slit their throats and cut their bellies and hit them with stones, and you've stoned them to death, and then you have done all that you can do to the dogs. But I'm not a dog, Bob. Nor are you, nor is Agnes.
No. Look, I mean, yeah, I got another dog story, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
It's just creepy. I understand everything that you're saying, Bob.
But
and
realize this, Bob. We cannot, oh, like I said, at the beginning of our little talk here, just for a moment, think about it. We had this, I never heard of it when I was going up that hill, but I heard it later, and it was a song that came out back in the 60s. The games that people play now, every
mm-hmm.
night
yep.
and every day now, and they, you know, never listen to what they say now, and they don't give a damn. And is there any difference between back then and right now? They don't give a damn, Bob.
Well, no, there's a certain element that doesn't. I got to get to a couple of blinking lights, Bob. We'll talk soon, okay. All right? Take care.
We may. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, and let's see here. Hi, who have I got?
Me?
Louie?
No, me.
Me?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm the guy who's the God or not.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Wayne, yeah. I thought you said Louie. I was going, I never heard of Louie.
No, I said me.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Like I say, I didn't know if, you know.
Yeah.
Was I the guy to whom you were speaking?
I think you were.
Yeah, I guess so. So what's going on?
You know, not a heck of a lot. Just sorting out the troubles of the universe. You know.
Okay, as long as the troubles of the universe do not involve what's his name, Rodriguez.
No,
I'm so sick of that. That is, oh my God. I mean, you know, not that he left. I don't care.
Yeah, you're not exactly a Mountaineer fan, so.
Well. It's not Mountaineer fan. I mean, you know, with all the things going on in the world, and this has to be the main topic for days on end.
No, you must be. You must be watching West Virginia news.
Well, no, you listen to the talk radio stations. Give me a break. Why aren't these people concerned that a state-funded university is paying a football coach $1.7 million a year?
Well, see,
why doesn't that come into that?
You know, Wayne, it's interesting. It's interesting you should say that because I started a little essay the other night, and the more I wrote, the madder I got. And the title of it was Tonight in West Virginia. And I just sort of started making a little laundry list of, you know, things going on in this state. There's a little community called Prenter, West Virginia. You may have heard of it.
Yeah, I have.
In Prenter, West Virginia, there are people who are urinating blood because coal companies have poisoned their wells.
Yes.
And they drank the water without knowing it, and their kidneys are burned up.
And how much coverage has that got?
That would be, apart from this program, zero.
Absolutely zero. Absolutely zero. There are nurses out on strike.
Right. In Hinton and Beckley, there are women freezing tonight.
Exactly.
Because
standing up to a corporation, a not-for-profit corporation, that is trying to ruin not only the union, but apparently a good portion of health care in West Virginia.
These women who are standing out freezing, standing up to the corporation, are standing up largely because they're tired of seeing their patients mistreated. Okay, but what I was saying, Wayne, the more I wrote, the madder I got because the last sentence was, and tonight in West Virginia, a guy has walked away from a university because $1.8 million a year wasn't enough.
Exactly, yeah,
and every time I got close to that, the shoe was on the way off my foot and headed for the wall.
You know, at Thanksgiving, our Supreme Court repaid a guy that bought one of the justices, Brent Benjamin, for, what did he say, I don't know, $3.5 million he spent on getting him into the court.
Yeah, and the payback
and the
was $75 million.
A judgment worth $76 million?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good return for your money.
Man, that's a price-to-earning ratio you can't beat.
No, you can't. And how much coverage has there been on that?
That's another zero, Wayne.
Except for this show.
Well, yeah.
And, it's absolutely amazing.
But there's a bread and circuses aspect to it. That's what's on there because that's what people apparently want. I mean, I am as big a WVU fan as exists in this state, and it to the point that I'm galled by it because my alma mater is a bought and paid for creature of the fiends of coal. All right, so it makes me a little bit sick. But I was raised on it.
Exactly.
And I love it, and the Mountaineer football game comes on, the hoops game comes on. I'm going to try to watch it, just because that's my gig.
I understand that.
I know you do, and that's why I'm getting at this. I'm curious to see who we'll hire. I am morally and ethically interested in seeing if we will pull as big a dirty stunt as the University of Michigan did.
Well, you know, see,
I'd like for us not to.
I don't give a damn.
Yeah, I'd like for us not to, because this is a symptom of a sick society.
Well, and this is also adds validity to Dr. Bill's point. I don't know when it was. I didn't even hear a show, but you told me about it. Yeah, you know, saying that sports, organized sports, and all this stuff was created to divert the working people's attention from the real issues.
Yeah.
You know, give them a team to root for. You know, that we could do whatever we want.
Well, precisely. And consider, if you will, Wayne, let's compare apples and apples here, because we're talking about contractual issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're on a job, you're a union carpenter, and you have a contract agreement to do a certain thing for a certain amount of money, okay? Halfway through the job, you put down your tools and you go back to the boss man and say, you know, I really don't like the bargain that I struck. I want you to pay me more. Now, is anybody ever going to do business with you again if you do business that way in that circumstance?
No, you know, not only will no one do business with you, you can't do that in the union. You are obligated to that contract. It's called your word. And, you know, so what? Rich Rodriguez has proven that his word is no good. That's my opinion.
But the thing is, it's larger. It's larger than him.
It is larger than him.
Whether it's professional athletes, professional coaches, all these contracts have built into them means by which a man may dishonor his word and his bond.
Right, which is what.
And well, you and I can't get away with it.
No, we can't.
The people who are, you know, a paycheck away from disaster can't get away with it.
No.
But if you're pulling down $1.8 million and you're doing something that serves absolutely no societal function other than providing a bit of diversion on a Saturday afternoon, apparently the law and ethics and morals don't apply to you.
Don't count. Your word, your honor.
It don't matter.
That doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is the money. Corporations get away from the same thing.
Precisely. That's what I'm saying. It is part of a larger picture. It's not just Rich Rodriguez or Nick Saban or Steve Spurrier or any of the other coaches or, you know, my God. The
Pittsburgh Steelers or any damn body else, you know.
How much, you know, and it crosses boundaries. How much does Alex Rodriguez is it Alex Rodriguez? Yeah, A-Rod. How much does he make for catching a ball at shortstop and hitting balls out of the park?
Oh, I don't know how many millions.
Do you? What, 30? By the time he's done, it'll be, what, $40 million a year?
Yeah.
How much?
That's another point.
How much does Rush Limbaugh make, Wayne?
25. Maybe.
29?
He got $1 million a year, probably, I don't know, has he gotten a raise?
$29 million a year, I think, last I checked, for sitting behind a microphone and lying to America and poisoning our dialogue.
And doing drugs.
And doing drugs,
like,
and getting
baseball players.
And getting dummied up prescriptions for Viagra on an all boys weekend to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, you see what I'm getting at, right?
I do know what you're getting at.
That's
what I'm getting at. I mean,
this is a busted culture.
It is a busted culture. The real problems don't count. Rich Rodriguez does. Give me a break.
Yeah. But you know what? And most people listening to this program don't know who he is, and they don't know what the network is. Hoppy Kirchival's statewide talk line probably has had the highest ratings in 5 years in the last 2 days.
Because of Rodriguez.
Right, and because West Virginia is tuning in to find out, you know, what's happening. Now, you can't get them to tune in and find out, and God knows Hoppy, being a right-wing freak, would never tell them that their Supreme Court has been bought and paid for.
It is totally corrupt.
Well, and frankly, that some crimes were probably committed in the process.
Yes.
You know,
not all five of them.
Well, no.
No.
But, you
there's
know...
There's three that I could name.
He couldn't, you know, he couldn't keep an audience on that.
No. I called Dr. Bill today and told him. You know, I said, the subject you brought up today has certainly been proven. I mean, yes, I took the day off yesterday, and I was cleaning the house, doing stuff, doing this, that. And I wouldn't turn on that radio show because I knew all it would be about was Rodriguez. Well, today I go to work, and I sit down, and I turn on the radio. Well, today was all about Rodriguez.
And it's going to be until they hire a coach.
It's sad. It's sad.
Yeah, it is. And it's not just West Virginia. I mean, any... Luke from Tennessee brought up an issue a little bit ago, Wayne, in which he mentioned the fact that, like, Clear Channel will let progressive radio die in a market, and they'll switch it over to sports talk, and the sports talk will get lower ratings than the liberal talk radio did. But they don't care because it's what they want. They want to make sure that we're not being serious about our civic responsibilities. They want to make sure that we're not, that we're not... Well, like what Dr. Bill was talking about,
well, exactly.
That we're focused on the you know batting averages and quarterback ratings and far be it from me to criticize anybody for liking that stuff because I do, but it is not my life.
No, it is not. Well, and as do I, but it is not my life. You know.
Although it probably felt a lot like it on Sunday, dude. Sorry about the Jaguars.
And the previous Sunday, Bob, that's or whenever they played the Patriots.
Oh, well, yeah, that too, yeah.
But I don't dwell on those things. I try to work on, things that are real.
Yeah.
And talking about things that are real.
And you do. I mean, there's nothing more real than the involvement that you've had with this nurses' strike.
Well, no, that's not what I was talking about. Or what I wanted to, was leading into.
Okay, well, take me where you want to go.
The meeting that we were involved in Saturday?
Yeah.
That's real.
Oh, yeah, that's real.
Those people are real. I mean, when people think that people don't give a damn, well, they should be involved with these people.
Yeah.
That's absolutely incredible. And, you know, what I'm talking about is Bob and I went to a meeting of Coal River Mountain Watch. Now, you talk about brave people, and I mean brave. I mean people who have been assaulted, have had their houses paintballed, or, you know, have to install security cameras because they're under attack for questioning the coal industry. Those are admirable people. Those are real people.
Those are heroes, Wayne.
They are heroes. They are heroes. I'm hoping we're
going to hear more of the individual stories. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? And you know this story already, Wayne. Can you imagine being a mother of two, teenage kids, and having to wonder when you walk out on your porch, if that's the last time you're going to go anywhere because you've already been told that you've been targeted and your children have been targeted and your dog has been targeted?
Right.
It'd get a little hard to get...
I can't imagine.
It would be easy to say, you know, screw this. I'll move, okay? I'll leave. But that's not what they do.
They're standing their ground. They're standing their ground, and well, that's the most admirable. Those are real people, and I can't say enough good things about them. And I mean, these people are, I mean, they are literally putting their lives on the line for what they believe. And that's brave, buddy.
Yeah.
That's honor.
And it's beyond what they believe. It's what they know. They live it.
Yeah.
They see it.
Well,
you know, we had a fascinating conversation. And we're talking about people who aren't just sitting around griping. They're actually pursuing knowledge, Wayne. Fascinating things we found out. The business about, and frankly, I would have to have somebody like Judy Bonds or maybe Nanette or Vernon to actually explain it. But did you hear the discussion about the little balls of foam in the streams?
Yes.
And yes. What they found out? Those are rolling balls of hydrocarbons.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
That are bonded up to other substances and can't be gotten rid of.
Unspent explosives.
Yep.
And like silica, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, very fine particles of what they blow up. How many tons, I mean, this always amazes me. How many tons of explosives do we use a day in West Virginia?
3 million pounds either a day or a week.
Regardless. That's a whole bunch of boom booms, man.
Yeah, it is. It is, and that's it's the same concoction that Timothy McVeigh used to blow up the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City: diesel oil and nitrates.
Right, and these, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned Nanette and Julie, and you know, the bravest people of all are women.
Yeah.
I mean, these women are cut from the same cloth as Mother Jones. I mean, my God, they're brave women. They don't take no crap, buddy. They're going to fight you. And eventually, I believe they're going to win.
I know they're going to win.
I know they're going to win. I mean, they're determined. They're determined.
But the key
to... And on top of all that, Nanette, I mean, that soup she made. I mean, that would save the world right there, that vegetable soup. That was the most incredible stuff I ever ate.
You know, when God wants a pan of cornbread, I think he calls Nanette.
Oh, well, I would.
You know, I brought
go out and buy a couple gallon container so I could take the rest of that soup home.
Yeah. Well, I brought a few slices of the applesauce cake. No, of the applesauce cake home.
Oh yeah, I
because I was thinking, you know, I'm going to sit back and relax and enjoy, and you know, and no, dude, I got in the door and it was like a murder of crows landing on that little
hand.
I think I came close to losing a digit.
Good stuff, man.
Good stuff and great people.
And people like that, they give you hope.
Yeah, they do.
They give you hope. You know, if you know that, you know, there are more people out there like that, and that gives you hope. That, well, it's a good thing. It was a wonderful day. It was a wonderful day.
Oh, it was. I came back energized, excited, you know, you and I were both fascinated with the portable solar unit that we saw.
Oh yeah, man, that was cool.
You know, when you're serious about not participating in the blowing up of mountains in order to, you know, run your computer, they are. There's no hypocrisy, and this thing was fascinating. This thing was fascinating. You know, portable solar, 3 panels. And, you know, can run several computers for several hours.
And you ought to tell the people Vern's story. I mean, he's not even from here.
No. Vernon's not necessarily a native, but, you know, he's working like a guy whose people have been on the ground for 300 years.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, we'll have to get Vernon on the show some night. We need everybody on the show some night. One night after another. You know, telling this story, telling what the reality is. Because until you hear the story from the people's mouths, while there are a lot of people who hear me talk about it, you talk about it, and go, you know, damn, that's awful. Until you hear the people who are living it talk about it, You know, Nanette was talking, I guess, a week ago about her little shakedown visit from the from the engineering company working for the coal thugs. They're going to start blasting right behind her house.
Right.
Because they can.
Exactly.
Nanette's husband, Paul,
probably a couple years ago, there weren't any plans for that at all. But because of her activism and her husband, well, you know, we're going to start blowing up your property now because we can.
Yeah. I mean, and it's pure intimidation. It's look, Wayne, am I wrong if I say that it's just plain old-fashioned open warfare?
No, you're not wrong at all. You're not wrong at all. And her husband was hospitalized, was he not?
Yeah.
Yeah. By being beat up by a bunch of cooperating thugs. You know, the Pinkertons are back, I guess.
Yeah, you're darn right they are.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
So,
those people give you hope. And, you know, if people want hope, go and look and see what these people are doing.
Yeah, CRMW.
River Mountain Watch.
Yeah, CRMW.net.
.net. They're brave, brave people. And,
Thanks for bringing this up, Wayne. I really do appreciate it. It's,
my pleasure, pal.
It's important that we do this because, there's so much stuff out there.
And people have to have hope.
Yeah.
And there is hope. You know, there is hope. And people like the people involved with Coal River Mountain Watch give you hope. They give you hope. You can fight these people. You got to be brave, and it gets scary. But if you're honorable and believe in what you believe in, you got to go for it.
Yeah, because the honorable and believing what you believe in is the stuff that will... that will lead you to the place that you want to be if you will remain true to those principles.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that grabs me is I'm so honored to be associated with this group because they have remained true to those principles and never wavered.
Never. Not at all. In the face of very strong adversity, they continue on. And, they're committed. To be commended.
Yeah, and I can't wait to talk about some of the knowledge that they've picked up along the way. It's mind-boggling. I mean, if you or I or an ordinary human being did to people what these coal companies do, they wouldn't be able to find a jail far enough away from polite society to put us in, Wayne.
Right.
These are criminal acts by criminal individuals who are deemed not to be criminals solely by virtue of the fact that they have horse-gagging loads of money. And a legislature, and a court.
Horse-gagging, yes.
And you know, legislature, court, governor, a couple of congressmen, a few senators. Yeah. Boom. Suddenly, the attempted murder becomes legal.
Yep. It's amazing.
Like I said, it's a busted culture.
Listen, one more point before I leave.
All right.
Kudos to Chris Dodd.
Yeah, no
Ed
kidding.
Kennedy.
Yeah.
That was a good thing.
Fight's not over.
No, it is not.
But we've got some time to work, and I think
we got some more rounds.
And I think the activism that people engaged in really made a difference.
And poor Harry Reid don't know what the hell to do, does he?
I know what for Harry Reid to do.
Resign.
Yeah.
Give it to Chris Dodd.
Yeah. I guess what the next guy behind him who, you know, if you follow the hierarchy would be Dick Durbin.
I think Durbin wouldn't be bad, would it?
I think he's got a more slightly more solidified spine than anything that Harry Reid has.
Yeah, but that ain't saying much.
Well, that's because Harry doesn't have one at all.
No, exactly.
I don't. You know, I see him standing on the floor of the Senate, and I'm looking for the puppet strings or the props or you know what holds that man up.
Nancy props him up, and you know she's got to have a whole string of people behind her too because she got no spine either. Oh.
Yeah, it reminds me of when in the Wizard of Oz when the Scarecrow loses his straw and he starts crumpling
right, yeah.
Oh, no, stand up there, stand up, it's all right, yeah, you can do it, come on.
God.
Oh, man. Well, listen, good talking to you.
Good talking to you, too, man. And I enjoyed the trip with you Saturday.
I had a good time.
But I tell you what, if either one of us ever becomes governor of West Virginia, you know what's going to happen?
What?
Route 3 is getting straightened out.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Yeah, personally.
But don't you like the way I pack my truck?
Oh, I love the way you pack your truck.
All right, buddy.
All right, later, man.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Our good buddy Wayne, head man here at the Head On Radio Network. All right, let's see who we got. Hi, who's on the line? Hello? Anybody there? No? Okay. Hi, who have I got?
This is Kate.
Hey, Kate, how are you?
I'm good, I guess. I don't have a clue what you guys do. Well, who's Rodriguez? And then I heard you say A-Rod, and I thought, oh, well, is he still playing ball?
For lots and lots of money.
Really? And Rush, is he still playing radio? I don't know, whatever. And what did Chris Dodd do?
Well, he managed to bring enough pressure to bear, Kate, to stop this idea of giving the telecoms retroactive immunity for spying on America.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I heard the beginning of that rant last night, and I thought... And then,
well, that's really all there was to it.
Yeah, and then Susan called in, and the phone went dead, and I thought, ooh, girl.
Well, no, the really weird part, though, was me working back and forth with our ISP and finding out that they show no event.
Oh, well, okay.
But I know there was an event.
Well, I do, too. I was sitting right there, eventing with you. So I thought, whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what I was going to call in. What I was going to call in about, I was enjoying Wayne so much. The urine and the blood, that stuff's happening all over, huh?
Yeah.
It's just as bad up there as it is down here.
Truly. I mean, it's different bad, but it's an equivalent bad.
Yeah, yeah. The people down here, the work. When I got down here a year ago, I was told by, I guess it was Jim Yancey, that be aware of the fact that it's 18 months after the storm, and the haves are getting really, really nervous, and the have-nots have no hope. And then I got here this time, and the haves are doing, yeah, kind of okay. There's a lot of rebuilding going on, nice houses up, and, you know, the insurance is paying off, whatever. And the have-nots are even, it's like they're coming up out of the primordial ooze covered with sludge and Spanish moss, and a fellow in a tent behind over close to the office here in the woods on his property, and a woman living on a slab. She's burning a fire out on her slab because she can't set a fire in her trailer, and she's got no electricity because I don't know why, because I don't even know. It's a mess. It's just a mess. And, the people, it's just getting worse and worse. And, and the cases just keep piling up. And so I've just decided, I'm glad I'm sitting here in administrative support, and I've been collating forms all night and making up new files for new intake cases. I feel like a legal secretary again. Make those files up. Those six-phase files.
Oh, are these the ones with the little individual binders inside them and the little two-prong tabs and the two-hole punch?
Yes, yes, and I have to make them by hand because they're cheaper than buying the six-phasers. And, you know, it's just like, oh, the depths go on this side and all the personal correspondence goes in the back. God.
And one's green and the other one's red, and then we got blue and yellow. Oh, we're color cool.
I changed the copied paper today and made one of the forms purple, so lavender. My little this. And I'm able to turn. I do all the mailing, and I turn all the flags upside down on the mail. Mm-hmm.
Atta girl.
Nobody has said a thing. The stamps are going out of here like crazy, and nobody said a thing. And if they do, I'll just say, oh, forgive me. I didn't notice.
Did I really? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm so stressed. I'll do it again tomorrow. Anyway, I just, it's really, really late. We get Christmas music all day long, every night, all night until then.
Oh, no, I was just, this
you
is...
Were, that was, oh, it was tongue-in-cheek or something? Okay.
Well, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra thing that I played, I thought dovetailed rather nicely with the White Christmas for White Christians ad that Huckabee's running, and...
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I was going to piggyback onto your report about his kid, and then that's not even as far as presidential material goes. His, what Malloy reported last night was that his chief of state police wouldn't bend and get the kid, get the file scrubbed or something, I don't know, anyway, he wouldn't give in to the pressure, and some short time, 3 months, 4 months, 6 weeks, something else, Huckabee called him into the office and fired him because he couldn't, you got what we need, and so he lost his job because he wouldn't give in. So he was trying to buy off the law, and that just makes him more presidential. I think we should vote the sucker in. He'd fit right in the White House.
Well, that's the sad thing, Kate. He's got a,
he's got
all the right sleaze.
And I have to listen to NPR every morning on my way out the door, and I think, oh, my God, they're talking about Iowa caucuses, and, oh, Jesus, that's all there is. So, it's, and the Young Turks quit, they busted up, or they are going to Internet?
Well, there's a pretty, you know, for the longest time, it's pretty much been the Young Turk.
Right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's been the Chink Show, and that's not a criticism one way or the other. But no, apparently they've come to an amicable split with Air America as of January 15th, and whatever it is they're doing, it'll be back on the Internet.
Mm, that's so exciting. Okay. How much money did you get this week, this month?
We are approaching the $2,000 mark.
Yeehaw!
We're not there.
Folks still have time to make it a Merry Christmas on Head On.
Yes, indeed.
Get on your Christmas list.
Yeah, because we want to do frivolous things like pay bills and pay off, you know, yeah.
Pay CityNet that doesn't have events.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not gooning on them. I mean, I think they've got the best tech support of any organization that I've ever dealt with.
I'm aware of that, but I'm just telling the audience, it's still time. It's not the end of the month yet, and we've still got time to get another $1,500 in, and that'll put us over the top for this month, and we can pay the bills. That would be fun.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, just put it on your Christmas list. How much money do you not have? It doesn't matter. Spend $5 less on the 3-year-old. What do they know? You know? Okay, I'm done with that. I wasn't going to do this tonight. I'm out of here.
But you did, and I'm glad you did because
I'm
you reminded
calling.
Me.
It's time to get out of the office. 12 hours is enough on the staple gun.
Yeah, put down the staple gun and step away from the desk, Kate.
Step away from the desk, Kate. I'm out of here, folks. I miss everybody in the chat room and on, you know, whatever. But I'll be in touch again.
All right, y'all. Sounds good. You take care.
Night, y'all. Bye.
Bye. Kate, another person being a hero down on the Gulf Coast. I like real heroes, not dummied up, ginned up, phonied up, faked up ones. And I am blessed to know so many of them. We are nearing the $2,000 mark. That puts us, there's 13 days left in December. And we're $1,500 out from the month goal. And that'll almost bring us square with where we need to be. And I thank all of you so very, very much for the commitment you've shown to making all of this happen and keep it going. As I've said before, it is humbling in the extreme to see your dedication to this idea. Just wow. Thanks to our IT consultant, Peter Godbold, on his way with the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio program, Strictly Confidential. Thanks to our chief engineer, John Fox, on his way tonight with All Foxed Up. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk, WhiteRoseSociety.org for the archives and the podcasting of All Horn programming. He also takes care of the stream that some of you are listening to right now. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 88 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBTQQS version of Conversation Radio. That's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer, questioning, and straight. It's exclusively on listener-supported head-on radio network. Bob was talking earlier in the evening about our goals for this month, the financial goals. Apparently, we've reached about $2,000. We have a $3,500 goal this month. It's important to help keep the studio with packets passing and streams streaming and bumpers playing and guests speaking. One of the projects that we're doing at the network, and we hope to have it online fairly soon, is the new main computer, which will enable us to begin developing some video capabilities. I've seen the future, and it is us. The studio is the new system we have set up is really quite an amazing system, but it wasn't that inexpensive, really. But Bob and I saved a ton of it by putting it together ourselves. It's a dual-core AMD system, and it will really work smoothly. Example, right now on my machine, I'm speaking to you. I'm running Microsoft Word, several occurrences of the Internet. I'm running email. Nero record code is burning a DVD. All sorts of things are going on, and I'm barely hitting 10% processor, and I have a dual core. So this is really what the studio needs, because we are maxing out those computers badly, and your help is appreciated. Please stop by headonradionetwork.com. That's headonradionetwork.com, and you'll see a PayPal button located in the right-hand column. You have to scroll to the right to see it, so it's a wide page. But it's headonradionetwork.com. You'll see the PayPal button. If you could help us out this month, that's wonderful. And, reminder, only 6 days left in the war on Christmas. We're accused of the war on Christmas every single year, and I would like for this year to be the last year. Remember, kill a tree before it kills you. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Tuesday, December the 18th. And if you are listening on a Tuesday evening, a little bit after 9 p.m., that's December the 18th, you're indeed listening to a live show, and you're welcome to phone in. Our guest will be joining us about 9:15. This particular guest, I've got to tell you, has been a guest before on the Head On Radio Network. He appeared back on October the 4th. If you'd like to go to strictlyconfidentialradio.com and click on the October calendar, you can hear his previous appearance on the Head On Radio Network. This tonight, and I'll tell you his name when it's time for him to come on. Tonight is special.